raised on songs and stories, heroes of renown, the passing tales and glories that once was Dublin town. The hallowed halls and houses and the haunting children's rhyme, all part of what was Dublin in the rare old time. Ring a ring a rosy as the light declines, I remember Dublin city in the rare old time. My name it is Sean Dempsey, as Dublin as can be, born hard and right in Pimlico, in a house that ceased to be. By trade I was a cooper, lost out to redundancy, like my house that fell to progress, my trade's a memory. I courted Peggy Dyken, as pretty as you please, a rogue and child of Mary from the rebel liberty. I lost her to a student chap with skin as black as coal, when he took her off to Birmingham, he took away my soul. Singing, ring a ring a rosy, as the light declined, I remember Dublin city in the rare old time. The years have made me bitter, the gargle dims my brain, 'cause Dublin keeps on changing and nothing stays the same. The pillar and the med have gone, and the royal long since pulled down, as the great unyielding concrete makes a city of my town. Fare thee well, sweet Anna Liffey, I can no longer stay and watch the new glass cages that spring up along the quay. My mind's too full of memories, too old to hear new chime. I'm part of what was Dublin.
Tuned to 106.1 FM WSCA LP Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio. Please note that the views expressed on this program are those of the individuals who speak them and not necessarily of Portsmouth Community Radio, its Board of Trustees, members, volunteers, or underwriters. It's now time for the program titled Local Folk here on Portsmouth Community Radio. I'm your host, Steve Carrigan, and I'm bringing in people and events from the local folk music scene and beyond. And I am here to learn how folk is manifesting itself, and also to give you, my listeners, an idea on how to involve yourselves in the diversity that is the folk music and culture around here. This program is meant to spark your imagination, perhaps prompt you to take action. The first step is just to stay tuned as I help convey the music and the stories of my guests who are here to share with you all a little bit about their personal histories and musical selves. But before I introduce my guest this evening, I have a few announcements, followed by the weather, community bulletins, and a word from our underwriters. Why don't I start with announcements today? First announcement in here in Portsmouth Community Radio is register your bike. Portsmouth Police remind residents that if they register their bicycle with the Portsmouth Police Department, it will help authorities notify them if the bike is recovered after being lost or stolen. Go to the police department at any time and have the pertinent information recorded and receive a free registration sticker to affix to the bicycle. Each year, police recover dozens of bicycles in Portsmouth that they cannot return to the owners because there's no information on file. The contact number is 603-427-1500. Okay, the next announcement here on Portsmouth Community Radio, Community Calendar. Portsmouth High School has launched a partnership with Portsmouth Community Radio to broadcast Clipper Athletics News every Friday morning during the 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Radio Gazette program with Ann Haggard. Folks will be able to follow all game scores, upcoming events, highlights, and outstanding Portsmouth High School performers. If you are unable to tune into WSCA 106.1 FM for Radio Gazette, the archived show will be available online at portsmouthcommunityradio.org by clicking on Listen Live. By the way, that reminds me, I just have a quick announcement for myself, and that is that if you ever want to go back and listen to another episode of Local Folk, you can go to stephencarrigan.com, and there's a link right there to Local Folk Archive, because Stephen Carrigan, with a PH, stephencarrigan.com/local_folk, and that'll bring you right to all of my guests, and you can give a listen, and it's even better the second time, I think. Let's see. Programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is made possible by you, our members, and by Slow Food Seacoast, actively educating and celebrating good, clean, and fair food for the Seacoast community with monthly events and partnerships. Learn more at slowfoodseacoast.org or the Slow Food Seacoast Facebook page. Today, it is overcast. It's 51 degrees Fahrenheit. Patchy fog after 3 a.m. Otherwise, increasing clouds with low around 43. South wind between 6 and 10 miles per hour. Tuesday, showers mainly after 9 a.m. Patchy fog before 9 a.m. High near 49. Southwest wind between 8 and 11 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 100%. New rainfall amounts between a quarter and a half of an inch possible. Okay, so rainy day tomorrow. Tuesday night, a chance of showers. Cloudy with a low around 43. East wind between 6 and 9 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 50%. New rainfall amounts of less than a tenth of an inch possible. Okay, that's your weather. Let's get on to local folk here. My guest tonight was born in Dublin, Ireland, and moved to the U.S. at the age of 16. His love of the music and performance has led him to share the stage with The Commitments, the Make 'Em in Spain brothers, esteemed local folk alumnus Sue Young, and Derek Warfield and the Wolftones, among others. He's got growl, he's got swagger, he's got an entourage with him tonight. He also represents something that we don't see much in the folk world, and that something is that he's a full-time gigging musician. He's singing and traveling almost every night, spreading his music throughout New England. He's recently completed a new CD, and I've also found out that he has another, even newer track that we're going to hear at the end, so he's working all over the place. And it's his twist on the traditional Irish as well as original tracks that he wrote. And for a soft-spoken guy, he seems larger than life. Still, we'll welcome him among the hoi polloi here on Local Folk. His name is Tom Lanick, and welcome, Tom.
Hey, Steve.
All right. Born in Dublin.
Yes, sir.
The song that I played was Dublin in the Rare Old Times, and that was a track of yours, so I probably, you know, I may have let people in on who my guest was beforehand. Of course, I let them know on Facebook anyways. If you ever want to hear about any of this stuff, you can get updates on Facebook on the Steve Kerrigan's Local Folk radio show page, and you can click like when you get to that page, and you'll like the page. It's a really great thing. Do you know anything about Facebook?
I do, reluctantly.
Reluctantly.
I've come to, it's a necessary evil, I think.
Yeah, as your bandmate Sue says, listen, if it didn't happen on Facebook, it didn't happen.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's the way it goes. Yep. So, in Facebook, you grew up in Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that. You grew up, you're 34 years old.
Yes.
Okay, and a lot of times I've had people on, and they grew up during the folk revival of the 60s, but you're closer to my age. I just turned 38 the other day, so we kind of grew up in a little bit of a different time where folk was folk cool then?
It was always a constant. I mean, it wasn't, I'd say, what you call cool, but everybody had a respect for it. People at that time in Ireland, they, you know, it just kind of, everybody had the records and listened to the songs and, you know, along with whatever else they were listening to at the time, you know.
So was it your folks that introduced you to this this stuff, or was it?
Yeah, mostly my folks, okay. My uncle, my dad, very early on, was responsible for bringing the Furies to Skerries, which is the town I'm from. And I think I was maybe 5 years old, and I got to go on stage with them and sing.
Is that right?
And it was just, you know, it was amazing. And growing up, they've always been one of my favorites, and... So, yeah, just from as long back as I can remember, it's been there, you know.
So you were on stage at 5 years old with the Furies. I played some Wolf Tones right now, the Men Behind the Wire, because I know that you perform these Rebel songs. But tell me about being on stage with the Furies. Were you interested in music back then, or was it just like, was Dad like, hey, get up here, son?
No, I was really interested. I mean, my mom says I was singing before I was talking. You know, I just, from as early back as I can recall, just love music.
That wasn't her euphemism for crying, was it?
I don't know, maybe, you know, but yeah, I always felt some kind of special connection to music in general, you know.
Did you play the guitar when you were over in Ireland when you were growing up?
No, I actually learned the guitar when I came here because I didn't know anybody. I was working at a factory and a guy gave me a guitar and wrote down three chords. And I went home and practiced the three chords for about 6 months, and basically I played piano back home.
Oh, you did? Okay, so you had some feeling of music.
And... Yeah, and I had done some theater and stuff like that. And
some theater?
Yeah.
Any character that we would know, or any plays that we know of around here?
Well, I was fortunate. There's a school, the Billy Barry School over there, which is... pretty much one of the top school for that kind of stuff. And I got into some plays in the two main theaters, the Gaiety and the Olympia. Had Ronnie Drew from the Dubliners, you know, playing a main part in a couple of the plays. So I got to know him at a very young age. And
you had one of the Dubliners in the play with you?
Yeah. And it was amazing. You know, it was... And then I actually did a little bit part in a movie with Angela Lansbury. I played an altar boy, of all things, you know.
Angela Lansbury from that show Murder, She Wrote?
That's right. Yeah.
You were the altar boy?
I was
did
the altar
boy. Did she talk to you?
I don't remember, actually. It's been... I saw the movie once. And
was that in America, or was that
No, that was in Ireland, yeah.
So you're in Ireland, and they're like, hey.
Yeah.
Let's get you in on this.
That was through the Billy Barry School, you know.
This was quite a school. I know nothing about this school. Is this a something that people go to and then they go on to do great things? Or
usually, yeah, it's they've been responsible for, you know, a lot of great actors from Ireland have come from them.
Sounds like a wonderful experience. So
it really was. I mean, it was. I loved the theater aspect. I loved the music aspect. I wasn't so keen on the dance end of things, so that's what led me away and more into the music, you know. But it's a fantastic experience. You know, I'll never forget it. And,
that sounds, you know. I mean, that sounds great. So you lost your stage fright and this and that.
Yeah.
I mean, you seem to gig at nowadays, just fast forward a little bit, you gig quite a bit. How many days a week do you gig?
Between 4 and 5 usually. You know,
and you're not part gypsy or anything like that.
Well, not that I know of.
Not that you know of.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised.
But you're kind of a traveling guy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's kind of necessary if you want to keep working. You got to chase the jobs, you know. And
for new musicians out there, what do you think is a more important skill, playing music or being a safe driver?
Oh, man. I think you got to be a safe driver. If you're going to do it, that's it. I learned that the hard way. You know?
So, I mean, I guess my point is you probably spend quite a bit of time on the road.
Yeah, so you really got to, it's a whole headspace you have to get into, you know, to be able to do it. And there's so many hours in the car and downtime, and, you know, you really have to put yourself in that space. And
do you take road trips on your day off?
No. Day off, it doesn't exist for me. Basically, if I'm off, I'm on the computer or the phone trying to get more gigs, you know. And maybe at nighttime, if I can't sleep, I might hit the couch and watch some TV, but it's like vacation for me, you know.
Hey, I'm playing a little bit of something here, and are you hearing what I'm playing?
Barely.
I'm going to bring it up just a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Comfortably Numb.
Tell me about when you heard this song.
I was, I remember I was walking down the main road in Skerries, and my friend had a Walkman, and he just put it on me and said, listen to this song. And that was definitely one of the moments in life where you hear something and my spine tingled, the hair at the back of my neck stood up. It was like, I have to know this. I have to know what this is about. And I've been a Pink Floyd freak ever since, you know.
Now, does this influence your music now?
It does, yeah. A lot of their arrangements, a lot of Roger Waters' ideas, I've studied a great deal. And I try to incorporate them a little bit, you know.
Would you say that Pink Floyd is one of your major influences?
Yeah.
And do you think that that goes well with folk music?
I do, yeah, because Pink Floyd, if you strip it all apart, every song can still be played in a guitar, just an acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the lyrics are phenomenal, and the themes are universal. And so, yeah, I think if it works for me, you know.
I just want to play another little thing here. And this is probably something that's a little more traditional, but tell me about this.
Oh, man. The first time I heard this song, that's it. I was ruined for life, you know. It was like hearing the sound of heaven or something. I don't know, you know, it just struck me. Knock me for a loop.
So basically, you know, as you're growing up, you're listening to some of this traditional stuff, and you're also listening to rock music.
Mm-hmm.
And would you say that the music that you perform now is a combination of those things? Or I was listening to it. I found that there was some... I would call you an adapter. Usually I look at I've started to look at people when they come in and I say, I don't know, are you somebody who's keeping the tradition, you know, as pure, so to speak, as you can? Uh-huh. Or are you adapting it? Or are you making something totally new? And you're kind of more of an adapter, it seems like, anyways, more of an adapter or somebody that's even doing something totally new. About
yeah,
that.
I mean, my whole thing was when I really started to get into Irish music, you know, in a serious way, I still feel this today, that there's a big gap between what I call the Paddy Irish kind of, you know, lace curtain, syrupy voiced, you know, stuff. And then there you got your whole punk rock end of it. And there doesn't seem to be anything in the middle, mm-hmm. you know. And a lot of those songs, unfortunately, are dying. And that's kind of what I try to do, is to bring them back in a way that's somewhat relevant to today, or that could maybe, you know, be understood today, or, you know.
Now, which songs exactly would you say are dying? The ones that are not the punk ones, you think?
No, the punk Irish movement has been great, because it's just, I mean, it started with the Pogues, and, you know, Shane McGowan said it best. They said, you know, he said when he dies, he knows that he's kept Irish music safe for another 20 years, you know. And that spawned, you know, Dropkick Murphys, Flogging Molly's, all these guys, and who I respect tremendously. But again, there was nothing in the middle. It was just one extreme to another, you know. And I wanted to know what happened to the sound of, like, Paddy Reilly, Luke Kelly, Derek Warfield, you know. So I tried to, I guess, take Bob Dylan, Pink Floyd kind of approach to Irish music. And basically that's where I...
Well, I'd like to give some people an idea. So we've got the Bob Dylan, Pink Floyd influence, and also, you know, you're looking at something like the Pogues. You made a CD. Before we get into the CD, that your most recent CD, mm-hmm. I did just, you know, people don't just go usually right off the bat. I think you made, I listened to both CDs. I think they're both great.
Thank you.
I think that the new one is even better than the old one.
Yeah. So, well, we were lucky with that. It literally started off with me and a guitar and no idea where it was going to go. Got over the course of 14 months, took our time with it, didn't rush it, got some great musicians on there. And then the icing on the cake was at the very end. We were opening for Derek Warfield and the Young Wolftones, and Damaris Woods, the banjo player, she's one of the best in the world. And she agreed to be on the album. And that just kind of tied everything together, you know. It's a really special album to me, you know.
So how is it that you kind of went from just playing the music to opening up for Derek Warfield? I mean, how did that happen?
Just stubbornness.
Stubbornness? Your stubbornness?
Yeah. I just...
Tell me what that means.
Basically, you know, if I got to make 45 phone calls to make one little thing happen, I'll do it, you know? And
what it takes?
It does. It takes constant, you know, people have short attention spans. They forget very quickly, and you have to constantly keep yourself in their minds. And I do that as to the best of my ability, you know? I'm, like I said, when I'm not working, I'm pretty much on the computer or the phone constantly, just working for the future, working toward what I can achieve. A lot of it is, you know, just blatantly coming out and asking, you know. When the opportunity arose to first open for the Wolftones, I basically, you know, begged for that gig, you know. And it worked out. It led to, you know, more and more with them. And, you know, we've done it now 4 or 5 times. And it's every time is, you know, I mean, Derek Warfield is a legend to me. To share the stage with him, to be in his company, it's just, it's an unreal feeling, you know. And, basically just... asking the questions and not being afraid to hear no. And if you hear no, don't accept it, you know? And that's kind of where I'm at, you know?
Well, I mean, I think that this is really important for people to hear and know about how to be, quote-unquote, be a musician or be, gosh, almost anything entrepreneurial, really, I would say. I mean, you're coming out and saying it. You're saying make phone calls. You're saying when I'm not working, I'm working.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I never stop. I mean, to the point of, you know, maybe once a month I'll collapse of exhaustion and, you know, sleep for 12 hours straight. But I'm just, I guess I'm that kind of person. I'm just very...
Just driven?
Well, driven, and I am driven, yes, immensely, but I'm passionate about it. It's, I mean, I really feel that it's my purpose on the earth to do this in one form or another. And, you know, whatever I have to do to be involved with what's going on, I'll do it, you know?
Did you have a moment when you discovered that this was your purpose?
I've had a couple. A couple. I mean, when I started out, I didn't really realize how hard it was going to be. The lifestyle, you know, living day to day, the uncertainty of it. I always... You know, it's almost like wished that I could go to like a college and put 4 years in and get a certificate, and then you're, you know, but there's no certainty like that, you know? So, I've had my times of doubt, and every time something new has happened, and just something's happened to keep me going, you know? So I guess this is where I'm at, like it or not, you know?
Like a new opportunity has arisen, or...
Yeah. Every time, fortunately, every time something has gone wrong, or, you know, and I've questioned whether I should, you know, am I just obsessed, or am I, you know, on the right path, you know, something has always come along to kind of show me the way. I listen to my gut a lot, and it feels like my purpose. It feels truthful to me, you know.
So for example, something like the, thanks for sharing that, something like the Wolf Tone saying, hey, why don't you open up for us, you know, was that is that something, I mean, it's these little success, and that's kind of a big success, I think.
Oh yeah, it was huge. And you know, it took a lot of, again, a lot of phone calls, a lot of being told no, it can't happen. And
who's telling you no?
I don't mention any names.
Okay, but, don't know, mention names.
You know, there's certain, you know, bar owners, promoters, you know, they don't, they're not necessarily willing to, you know, just give you an opportunity. And I think what I do bring to the table is just, I'm completely honest about what I'm doing. And for the most part, the people that I work with, they end up sensing that and giving me the shot, you know. And thank God with Derek, it's worked. I mean, he's been such a great inspiration to me, and Damaris Woods playing on the record, and, you know, they're just really shown me a lot as to what you can do, you know. And that man does not stop. I mean, he's going to drop dead on stage one time. I mean, he's just driven like I've never seen.
He has a message. I mean, he has a message that he needs to get out.
Exactly.
You know? And it's that's a common thread with people that are really driven. I mean, they have a message that they, you know, that they want to get out. They have a drive that they want to do it. You need to be heard.
You know?
You need to be, he seems to have that. You are telling me you're out doing it. I can see that you're out doing it as well. You're down in Rhode Island. You're up here playing all over the place.
Yeah.
Good. I'd like to move on to the music a little bit, but we started talking about that, and it seemed like an essentially important part of what it really takes to do what you do. I need to let you all know that you are tuned into 106.1 FM WSCA LP Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio. You are listening to the program titled Local Folk. I'm your host, Steve Carrigan, and I'm here with my guest, Tom Lanigan. We're talking about what it takes. He's an Irish, not really a rocker. We're gonna get to his music in just a minute, but he's just giving us all a little bit of advice on what it takes to do something a little bit more than go down and hit a session. Quite a bit more, in fact. We're going to just take a very small break to let you know that programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is made possible by you, our members, and by The Music Hall, an American treasure for the arts. It's the Seacoast Performing Arts Center that entertains 100,000 patrons annually on Chestnut Street, Portsmouth. Schedule and other information at themusichall.org. This is also time for the musical calendar, but usually here on this show, I don't really have much of a musical calendar. I have to say that I just, when's your next gig?
Tomorrow night in Providence, Rhode Island.
Okay, there's your musical calendar right there. Tomorrow night McBride's. In Providence, Rhode Island. Okay. You can find out more about Tom Lanigan by going to tomlanigan.com. You're going to be able to listen to the archive of this show on stevecarrigan.com. StephenCarrigan.com. I'm sorry. And if you have any other questions, you could contact Tom probably through your website.
Yeah, absolutely. My number's on there. There's a contact button. Email me directly.
Okay.
I'm a public property.
Okay. Very good. And you can find him on Facebook, where it really all happens.
Yes, we could really use that. Yeah. We're trying to build our presence on Facebook a lot more. So
I'm trying to do that too.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get people to like my page.
Right?
Yeah, they like my comments. I'm like my page. They like my comments. I'm like, don't like my comment. Like my page,
exactly.
Please.
Exactly.
Please like my page. Anyways, it's one of those technology things. I ran into somebody today who said, yes, just the other day, who said, well, I, I'm kind of old school. I don't really email. And I was like, isn't email old school at this point?
I don't know. So, right?
I don't know. It beats me. Anyways, I totally digress. By the way, there's other things going on tonight. We're going to go to the local folk after party, a.k.a. the Oran Moore show. I will be down there anyways.
And
maybe some of Tom's entourage was with us. Sue Young, Jennifer from the band. Right. I have Chris Vaughn here. So I have a couple, we're all kind of sitting here hanging out here at the local down at WSCA for local folk. And we're having a great time. I would like to play a little something here just to get into the music. And let me start off. Let me see if I can. OK, here we go. Do you recognize this?
I do indeed.
OK, I thought you might. Let's give it a listen for a sec.
I've been loving you a long time. Down all the years, down all the days. And I've cried for all your troubles. Smile at your funny little way. We watched our friends grow up together, and we saw them as they fell. Some of them fell into heaven, some of them fell into hell. I took shelter from a shower.
All right, who is this that we're listening to?
This is the Pogues, Rainy Night in Soho.
This is the Pogues. Okay, so these guys were an influence on you, and in fact, I'd like to just play, this is called Rainy Night in Soho, and this is the Tom Lanigan version right here that we're going to bring up right here. This is from his first CD. As the Light Declines is the title of it. Let's listen to this for a moment as well.
I've been loving you a long time. Down all the years, down all the day. And I've cried for all your troubles, smiled at your funny little way. We watched our friends grow up together, and we saw them as they fell. Some of them fell into heaven, and some of them fell into hell. Took shelter from a shower, and I fell into your arm. On a rainy night in Soho, the wind was whistling all her charm. And sometimes I wake up in the morning, the ginger lady by my bed. Covered in a cloak of silence, I hear you talking in my head. Count the days, slowly passing by. Step on a plane, and I will fly away. I'll see you there, as the dawn birds sing. On a cold and misty morning, by the hour. Not singing of the future, and I'm not dreaming of the past. I'm not talking about the first time. I'll never think about the last. And now this song is nearly over. We may never find out what it means. Still there's a light I hold before me, 'cause you're the measure of my dream. The measure of my dream. The measure of my dream.
So Tom, I was just going to play a little piece of that, but I was enjoying it too much.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I was enjoying it too much. This is the previous CD. This isn't even the one that we're getting to, but this one's still available, isn't it?
Well, we just re-released it. Yeah, it was out of print for a while, and we had it digitally remastered, put new artwork, some bonus tracks.
Now this is called Tom Lanigan Band, As the Light Declines.
Yep.
And what You know, I'm not even seeing. I see 2007 for one of the songs on here, but otherwise, I don't see a date on it.
Yeah, it was about 5 years ago, I'd say.
Okay. There's some great stuff on here. There's some stuff that you wrote, something called Sweet Maria. That's,
yep.
But I mean, there's also a whole ton of things that are sort of Irish classics or Irish American classics, or some of them are Irish and some of them are American, but they all seem to be classics. The Ferryman, the ones that I remember, the ones that I know off the top of my head. I played Dublin in the Rare Old Times from this CD, just uh-huh. in honor of the fact that you're from Dublin. Caledonia, Galway Girl, Spancel Hill. Holloway Joe, that's a sea shanty.
It is. That's my good friend Ray Greenleaf.
He performs that song?
He performs that song,
okay,
yes.
Okay. Yeah. Follow Me Up to Carlo, that's a great one. Quiet Desperation and Town I Love So Well. All right. I didn't actually mention them all. Follow Me Up to Carlo, that's one that I'm going to be borrowing from you.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Good.
But I wanted to, yeah.
That's,
yeah.
It's an old song from the 18th century, I believe, and it's the more people that do it now, the better, because it's one of those songs that potentially could die.
Well, I have always stayed away from rebel song. This is a rebel song.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I don't know anything about it. I mean, I know that there are, you know, I think a lot of people like to, I'm just going to throw this out there. People, like, I'm part Danish, you know, I'm part English, right? I'm part English.
Hey.
My last name's Irish. I'm Kerrigan, right? Right. So I am Irish.
Yep.
I have been oppressed. I have been wicked oppressed, you know?
Right.
And, you know, so I look at a song like that, I'm like, yeah, but I mean, I'm also part English. Aren't I like an oppressor as well? You know, I mean, how can I sing a song like that? I'm just an American from, I live in New Hampshire now. You know what I mean? Do you need to know something about it? I mean, you probably weren't alive. I mean, obviously you
no.
weren't alive when that was happening either. So tell me about rebel songs and your take on the whole thing.
I mean, first off, I think it's universal. I mean, people have been oppressed all over the world throughout history. Obviously with the Irish stuff I focus on, it's not out of any hatred toward the British or anything like that. You know, there's no guns in this band. It's not like we're looking for a fight. I mean, it's just a matter of remembering and honoring the people that suffered tremendously at the hands of the oppressors, and you know, they really lost a lot, sacrificed a lot. I mean, for way too long, and we can't wish it away. And I think it's important to remember what happened, and it's also important to move on. You know, I'm not for violence at all. There was a time when it was necessary, you know, I'm talking back when people were defending their land and their families, and I'm sure if we were in this situation, we'd all do the same thing. But it's a new world, it's a new day. So that's kind of my struggle with it. I don't want anyone to think that, you know, I'm anti anything or hateful toward any nation. It's not about that. It's just about, you know, honoring the people that went through it, and you know, the healing power of music. I mean, it really moves a lot of people in the wrong ways sometimes, but I think those people are kind of misinformed.
You mean a rebel song, for example?
Yeah.
Like if somebody from Belfast was listening to a rebel song?
Well, yeah, it would be a touchy subject. But, you know, my stand has always been that, you know, this really happened. And, you know, a great number of men and women and children, you know, went through terrible things. It's a dark part of history. But like I said, you can't wish it away. And the least we can do is honor, you know, the fight, the struggle that they endured.
So you're looking at more of in a universal sense where fight the good fight and things like that.
Yeah.
I think that if I myself were to pick up one of these things, I don't know who this and that is necessarily, but I mean, I know at least the sentiment of get up and fight, you know, fight for what you believe in.
Right.
And that's a universal thing,
sure.
I would say.
Yeah.
So I just noticed I enjoy them. And you were playing with the Wolf Tones.
Yep.
And they love their Rebel songs.
Oh, Derek is amazing. He refused to back down when it wasn't kosher to do Rebel songs, and it was really, really frowned upon. And
wasn't even that long ago, really.
No, and he stuck to his guns, you know, pardon the pun.
Right.
And he's unapologetic, and, you know, he should be. He's doing a great service to Ireland. You know, he really is.
Now, do you have political things? Like, do you think that Ireland should be one country?
I do.
Do you think they should just drop all this religious stuff and say, hey, we're all just one country, or?
I mean, I think it's very complicated, and I think eventually that's what's going to happen, but, you know.
I've heard very recently from somebody who just came back from Belfast that it's like places that were a total war zone, you know, back in the 80s or so are like, kind of a-okay now.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of great changes. You know, there's peace in Ireland now. There's, you know, you still have your fanatics like in every culture,
of course.
But I think people in Ireland are just truly tired of the violence. They're sick and tired of it, and you know, they just want to move forward.
I think that we need to play a song that you wrote off of your new album.
Oh.
I need to play the title track, in fact, Tom Lennigan Band, Voice from the Tomb. All right, and this album features Damaris Woods of Derek Warfield and the Young Wolf Tones. Voice from the Tomb. I'd like to play the song Voice from the Tomb that you wrote. Can you just tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to dilute it, but basically you had these gentlemen that were involved in trying to bring down the British Army from the inside, and military Fenians, they got sent to Australia, which was worse than death. And this man in particular, James Wilson, happened to write a letter, Voice from the Tomb, he entitled it, and it got to America. He got it into the right hands, and basically they got this really, you know, a really poorly made whaling vessel, and got a great man named Captain Anthony to go out there. And, you know, the whole rescue mission is just amazing. Nobody knows how they pulled it off. I mean, there was every obstacle was there. All the odds were against them, and they got the boys home, and they got them to America. I mean, and James Wilson is now at rest in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, at St. Mary's Cemetery. And once I heard the story 2 years ago, I just, you know, felt compelled to tell his story, or their story, you know, as best as I could. I mean, you could read, you know, there's many books, and there's PBS documentaries and a lot more detail, but, you know, you try to put into a 4 or 5 minute song, you know.
We're going to listen to this. We're going to listen to this song, and then when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the Irish and storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
This is Local Folk with Steve Carrigan, and our guest today is Tom Lennigan. This is his song, Voice from the Tomb, and it's off his new album, Voice from the Tomb.
My name is James Wilson. Arrested was I, along with my brothers, for we could not abide with the thirst of the British to occupy this land that we loved. We were ready to die. Lord Derry
said, no, let's send them away. For fear if he shot us that he'd impact his trade. So a lifetime's hard labor in service of the Queen was the sentence Lord Derry now handed to me. So I wrote a letter and I smuggled it out, and it got to America where the rebels found out. And it sparked a vision, an idea, a plan to rescue us men in Australian land. Now the good whaling vessel, the Catalpa, did go, funded by Irish all over the globe. She left Massachusetts, swore not to return without me and my comrades who waited and yearned. For good behavior, we worked outside the wall. They got us to the longboat before anyone called. The Irish escaped us, the ship sails away. So the HMS Georgia was ready and paid. Chased down the good ship, firing one shot to warn. But the grand U.S. flag, that they'd have them a war. And they ran out of coal, returned in disgrace. And we all made our way to New York, we were saved. We disbanded and I lived in obscurity, pursuing my dreams in the land of the free. And I think of that letter that saved us from ruin. I thank God that she made it, my voice from the tomb. I thank God that she made it, my voice from the tomb.
That was Voice from the Tomb by the Tom Lanigan Band, written by Tom Lanigan. Great story, has history behind it. The sound of it is big and produced, which is part of which I think you might be expressing when you're saying that you don't want you wrote this song, but it's in a traditional sense. I mean, I feel that it's part of the tradition, part of the storytelling tradition.
Yeah, yeah.
So in a lot of ways, it's a traditional tune, although it is produced in a way that sounds more modern.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically, you know, a folk song. There's no chorus. But we tried to make it, you know, give the atmosphere with the music, make it almost visual, you know, a cinematic thing, you know.
Nice fiddle. Who was that?
That's Jordan Terrell Wasaki. Mm-hmm. He's amazing, amazing fiddle player, and been blessed to work with him a lot. And if I could kidnap him and lock him up, I would take him with me everywhere. You know.
I think a lot of people. I don't think you're the only one that feels that way.
No, I'm sure I'm not.
You can put him under a glass jar, and then whenever you need kick butt. Fiddle.
Yep.
You just lift it up.
Kid's a genius.
Yep. He's really great. He was taught by Jacqueline Loffman, who's part of my part of the duo, who is my guest next week, Two Fiddles. But we'll talk about that in a minute. I'd like to talk about storytelling in this new song that you have just released that's not even on your new CD.
Right.
It's so new. It's just newer than the new CD.
It was finished yesterday, actually.
Finished yesterday. Tell me about that.
It's about the last man ever executed in Rhode Island. His name was John Gordon. He was falsely accused of murder. Long story short, there was a lot of anti-Catholic, anti-Irish sentiment. He was framed. And the whole thing, it started off with a play by a great, great writer, Ken Dooley, which led to an eventual, it got pushed through the Senate, and they pardoned him June 29th, 2011. In the same courtroom that he was sentenced to death, he was actually pardoned. And there was a memorial for it, so I wrote the song for it, and it just took on a life of its own. And again, it got great players like Sue and Jen and Jordan, and, you know, I've never felt closer to a story like I really wanted to, you know. And every time they try to reinstitute the death penalty in Rhode Island, it's his case that they use to say no, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was just a young guy recently over from Ireland working for his brother, trying to make a decent living for himself. And next thing he knows, he's framed for murder and executed.
It's like your worst nightmare.
Absolutely, you know.
Let's give this a listen. Now, this was released, but is this due to be released on a CD? Or did you mention something about a movie? Or
Yeah, there's talks of a movie right now, and it's going to be involved in that. But we're releasing it on, it's coming out May 12th as a single.
You can get it on tomlanigan.com?
Yep.
Now, it's just, it's TOMLANIGAN.
Yes.
.com.
Thank you, yeah.
You're welcome.
You'd be surprised how many misspellings there are.
I'll bet they try to put two N's.
Oh, it's all kinds of stuff. I'm going to start a photo album.
Took me 14 tries. Thomas Lanigan.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Tom Lanigan, one N. See, I'm with C-A-R-R-I.
Right.
So I'm like L-A-N-N, but that's not correct. Back up for a minute. Tom, TOMLANIGAN.
Yep.
And the title of this song, once again?
The Ballad of John Gordon.
The Ballad of John Gordon.
Search of fame, but the last man executed there is how they know my name. My brother called me over on a dreary Irish day so I could know the pleasure of honest work and pay. Drink. Amasa didn't like to think of working men with power in their mind. On a broken New Year's Eve, Amasa met his destiny. Fingers pointed right at me and sent me to my grave. To march me out and hang me high.
You are tuned in to Local Folk here on 106.1 WSCA LP Portsmouth. I'm your host, Steve Carrigan. I've been talking to Tom Lanigan. You can get more information about Tom at tomlanigan.com, TOMLANIGAN.com. Tom, thanks for being with us today. Thank you very much for sharing your story and your song.
Thank you for having me. Yeah. It's been amazing.
Excellent. Well, it's time for the end of Local Folk now, and what we have to do is I just let you know if you have any questions for me, you can email me at scarrigan, S-C-A-R-R-I-G-A-N, at WSCAFM.org. Our guests next week, two guests, Dudley Loffman and Jacqueline Loffman, they are of Two Fiddles is their official name. I am super duper thrilled to have those guys on. I will be posting more on Facebook about that. Tom, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Entourage, for being here. Give me three cheers. Hip, hip, hooray, Entourage. Go ahead. Let me have it.
Hooray!
There we go. Hooray for Tom Lanigan. Thanks a lot, and thanks for listening to Local Folk.
Like in sands, come on and fight me like a man. Should have wiped out you once.